I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Thursday, April 23rd. We're talking about the latest pushback as some states plan to reopen, how the first pets in the U.S. diagnosed with COVID-19 are doing now, and how drones are joining the fight against this virus. Plus, what to know about Zoom's new privacy features and the NFL virtual draft. Then hang out after the news for Think to Know Thursday's bonus interview, hearing from an Olympic hopeful about what training looks like now. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The spread of the new coronavirus is easing in some parts of the U.S., but getting worse in others. And the response to this pandemic is also quite different state by state. Here's just a little bit of what's changing around the country. In Illinois, the state health department reported a new daily high of new COVID-19 cases. More than 2,000 people were diagnosed with the virus in just 24 hours. Still, experts project the state has not yet seen its peak and won't until mid-May. In the New York tri-state area, it seems social distancing measures have worked to ease the outbreak, at least a little bit. Now the focus is on contact tracing. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has said he'll put up the money for tracing and testing people exposed to COVID-19 patients in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Experts think it can help prevent another wave of cases in the already hard-hit region of the U.S. But at the same time, other states are getting back to business. Oklahoma's governor announced it's mostly following the Trump administration's three-phase plan for reopening. Pet groomers, hair salons, and others will be able to open tomorrow as long as they follow certain sanitary and social distancing standards. Then more Oklahoma businesses like restaurants, movie theaters, gyms, and churches should be able to open on May 1st. Governor Kevin Stitt says the state's coronavirus outbreak peaked March 30th and has since improved. At this point, it seems the most controversy, though, is in Georgia. There, hair salons, gyms, tattoo studios, and more are all set to reopen tomorrow with some social distancing measures like staggered shifts, keeping workspaces 6 feet apart, and screening workers for fevers. Restaurants and theaters will be allowed to reopen on Monday. The governor, Brian Kemp, says it's measured action that will allow people to get back to work without undermining the progress in the fight against the virus. But even mayors in Georgia's largest cities have spoken out against this idea, saying it's just too dangerous. Even President Trump said he strongly disagrees with Georgia's governor, calling it too soon. The Hill reports Georgia has tested less than 1% of its population for COVID-19. Earlier this week, the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said all the states relaxing restrictions right now, quote, could be setting us back. For at least the next 2 months, it will be a lot harder to legally immigrate to the United States. President Trump signed an executive order to basically prevent foreigners outside the U.S. from trying to become permanent U.S. residents. The order does not apply to anyone already living and working here who wants to adjust their status. It also does not affect people like medical professionals or farm workers who enter on a temporary basis. President Trump says his order will shield Americans from COVID-19 and also protect American jobs. But critics argue President Trump has been trying to issue this order since his election and is only using this pandemic as an excuse to push his own agenda. Either way, the restrictions could be extended longer than 60 days if Trump believes the economy is still struggling in June. Two house cats in New York have tested positive for COVID-19. The USDA says these are the first infected pets in the U.S. that we at least know about. One of the cats likely got the virus from its owner, who had already been diagnosed. As for the other one, no one in the home had this disease, so it's not clear exactly how the cat was infected. Both of them only have mild respiratory symptoms and are expected to make a full recovery. It's important to note doctors and scientists say there's no evidence pets play a role in spreading this virus. Top public health officials have said they don't think humans can get the virus from just being around animals, even though animals can get it from humans. By the way, veterinarians don't use human testing to diagnose animals with COVID-19. These are special animal tests, and they can only be performed at 20 labs around the U.S. Remember the messages that went out last month warning millions of Americans about lockdowns that didn't really exist? Well, now U.S. intelligence officials say those texts and social media posts were spread by Chinese operatives. The New York Times interviewed officials who work in six different agencies. Officials said while Chinese agents helped spread the messages, it's still not clear exactly who created them. And the Times says it wasn't just the lockdown messages. Chinese agencies also helped spread false information about COVID-19 all over the world, like in Europe and even at home in China. It's not clear exactly why China was doing this or what they were trying to get out of it. A full report is expected next month. At this point, the Chinese Foreign Ministry says the report is completely nonsense and, quote, not worth refuting. A new large-scale study will track the spread of the new coronavirus in the UK. The British government says up to 300,000 people will take part over the next year. The goal is to figure out how many people are infected with COVID-19 in the UK and how many people develop immunity. First, swab tests will show whether participants have the virus. They will be asked to keep swabbing their own noses and filling out questionnaires every week for the first 5 weeks, then every month for 12 months. And Sky News reports some adults will also provide blood samples each month for a year. We should expect the first results by the end of May and final results in April of 2021. We have more news ahead, but first, thanks to our sponsor this week, Netgear. We've talked about it before here on the show. Some home Wi-Fi can struggle to keep up with all the streaming, gaming, video conferencing, and homeschooling happening right now, especially when it's all at once. Sound familiar? If so, it sounds like it's time for a Wi-Fi upgrade. Bring your Wi-Fi up to speed with Orbi Wi-Fi 6 from Netgear. Wi-Fi 6 is a whole new kind of Wi-Fi. It's the latest tech that gives you the fastest speeds possible, even as you connect more and more devices throughout your home. That means you'll be able to stream without buffering, eliminate lag while gaming, and connect more devices to your Wi-Fi than ever before. It's like upgrading your Wi-Fi to first class. If you are ready for the best Wi-Fi ever, you can get it today from Netgear and never worry about Wi-Fi again. Check out Orbi Wi-Fi 6 at netgear.com/bestwifi. That's Netgear, N-E-T-G-E-A-R, netgear.com/bestwifi. Now, back to the news. From Africa to the U.S., drones are being used in the fight against COVID-19. For example, a Connecticut town plans to use a drone to scan people for COVID-19 symptoms. NBC News reports the so-called pandemic drone can apparently detect fevers from 190 feet away, as well as coughing or sneezing. Police say they plan to use it to monitor people as restrictions are relaxed. But if they see someone who has symptoms, there's not actually much they can do since the drone is just in the testing phase. Even though officials say no personal information will be captured, critics are still worried about privacy and what happens to any health data collected. Also, CNBC reports a California-based drone startup called Zipline has its drones operating in Africa, transporting items for COVID-19 tests. The drones are picking up samples from patients in rural areas and taking them to a medical center where they can be analyzed. The drones can make the trip in about 30 minutes. That's compared to a car that would take a full day. The company is now in talks with U.S. regulators as well. A new tool on Facebook and Instagram could help prevent election meddling. The company will start labeling the location of certain accounts. For example, maybe the account posts a lot about American healthcare, but it's actually run from Brazil. From now on, Facebook will give you a heads up. The move could help crack down on outside influence in U.S. politics. Remember, top U.S. officials believe Russia used Facebook to meddle in the 2016 U.S. election. In fact, TechCrunch reports Russia created content that reached as many as 126 million Americans. So this new feature might help people know which posts could be questionable. Video conferencing app Zoom is rolling out a new update that should fix some privacy issues. The company says the update will make it easier for hosts to quickly secure meetings and approve who's allowed to join. For example, in Zoom 5.0, the waiting room feature will now be on by default, even for basic accounts. That means anyone who wants to jump on the call will need to have the host's permission first. Also, passwords can be enabled by default, and Zoom has added a security icon to the menu bar, making security features easier to access. The hope is that these types of updates will prevent so-called Zoom bombing. Remember that? It's when trolls join video calls just to broadcast graphic images or shocking videos to everyone else on the call. Zoom says all the new updates should be available by the end of the week. expect to hear a lot about football teams and new players. Round one of the NFL draft is happening tonight. Of course, it's going to look different from anything we've seen before. It'll be held virtually for the first time ever, meaning teams will be making their picks from home. The original plan was for Las Vegas to host the draft with a huge event, but that plan was scratched because of the pandemic. Instead, you can watch round one tonight starting at 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, and the NFL Network. Rounds 2 and 3 will happen tomorrow, and then rounds 4 through 7 will be held Saturday. By the way, the event is expected to set gambling records as well. The AP reports it could be the most bet-on draft ever. That's because sports gamblers have not had much to do lately, with all the other games and events canceled. Sportsbooks think up to $5 million will be wagered during the draft, compared to last year's $1 million. This evening marks the start of the holy month of Ramadan. During the entire month, Muslims fast from dawn to dusk, meaning they don't eat or drink anything, including water, while the sun is up. They're also encouraged to pray, read the Quran, and participate in charity work. Ramadan will last until May 23rd. When it's over, Muslims usually celebrate for 3 days. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're taking a break from talking with doctors and researchers to talk with an athlete. Michaela Skinner is a gymnast on the United States national team. She was an alternate for the 2016 Olympics, and she felt 2020 in Tokyo would be her year, and really her last chance at Olympic success. Then, of course, the Olympic Games were postponed a year due to COVID-19. Today, Michaela Skinner is getting honest about her reaction to the delay, how she plans to move forward now, and what it'll mean if she makes it in 2021. Hi, Michaela. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thank you so much for having me.
What was your initial reaction to the one-year delay when you first heard it?
So I was actually on my way to practice, and my husband called me and was like, "Hey, did you hear the final news? Like, the Olympics are postponed for a year." And so it was just super like mind blowing. I was like, a year? Like, I thought maybe it would happen, you know, the beginning of next year. I didn't really think it'd maybe be a year from now. But it was just so shocking. And it really didn't hit me till the next day, kind of being in the gym and kind of having, you know, tears and just feeling so emotional and upset. So it did really, it hit me hard.
What do you think was the one thing that stood out to you as this is why it's so devastating?
I've kind of was planning on, you know, after this Olympic run to possibly go back to college, finish my degree, kind of hard thinking about having to change everything and, you know, keep training. And I just really hope that, you know, through all this, that my body can stay healthy and strong. But I know, like, I'm just really excited though, too. I kind of have to look at the positives is that I do get more time to train just because I came back and everything was so rushed.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a roller coaster of emotions. And you talked about your body being healthy. You and Simone Biles are 23 years old, right? That's so young in life. But in gymnastics, it's kind of considered old, right? Why is that? And how does that make all of this even more complicated?
Yeah, so gymnasts usually peak from 16 to like 18, 19 years old. And then an elite, you're just training so many hours and you're training so much every single day that your body just kind of burns out really fast and it can't always hold up that long. And so I feel like, you know, me and Simone are really lucky that we have such sturdy bodies, just because you don't really see that many athletes, you know, at this age competing at such a high level. They're usually in college or retired. We're just really fortunate, but it's just all the, you know, wear and tear on the body. Gymnastics is just hard and grueling. And I don't know, it's tough, but it's so nice that I've been able to stay strong through it all and keep my body in really good shape.
What's the talk between you and Simone and some of the other athletes that are kind of all dealing with this together?
I remember texting Jade and Simone definitely kind of towards the beginning when all this was happening and being like, dude, like, what if they push back the Olympics? And she's like, kill me. Like, this is going to be horrible. Like, I'm so ready to be done in 3 months. I mean, we're older, we're tired. Gym's been our whole life. We're kind of ready to like move on after this. And so, you know, like Simone said, she's like, I might be upset about it for a while. I might, you know, sit and cry about it, but, you know, I'll eventually get over it. And it is what it is. And we're just going to have to keep going for it.
And you're still going to go for it. You're still going to try for that moment.
Yes, I've decided that I'm going to keep going. I feel like, you know, it'd be kind of sad to waste all this time for nothing. And I've, you know, done so well and my body's done really good. And there's just something about me that just loves the burning fire and desire of being out there in the elite scene and getting to do crazy fun stuff and getting to achieve dreams that I've been dreaming of ever since I was a little girl. So I definitely want to go out there and, you know, keep pushing for this goal and, you know, have no regrets. So I'm going to give it, you know, one more shot before it's over.
So what do you think happens now? Take us behind the scenes a little bit of some of that training that you mentioned and any other plan you have in place at this point, having to deal with what's happening.
So I know some athletes have still been able to train. I'm in the gym by myself, trying to stay motivated, pushing through the tough days, just trying to keep myself prepared for whatever comes up next. I feel like they've been talking about having championships still possibly this year, might be in August, could be pushed back. I'm not totally sure what they're going to do yet. So I'm just trying to keep myself prepared for any situation and to just try to keep training as long as I can before there may come a time where I might not be able to. It's actually been really nice kind of being back in the gym and being by myself because I've had a lot of time to like work upgrades, work different things. But I mean, through all of this, just trying to stay positive and keep my mind going because now that I have a year left to train, it's all about the mental game.
Any advice that you've learned from sports psychologists or other mental coaches that maybe you've worked with that you can pass on even to the average person, maybe also dealing with a lot of uncertainty and change in their own lives right now? What kind of advice has been the most helpful to you?
Yeah, so I've actually the last couple months, I've been working with this guy, Clay. And he's actually helped me a ton. He's been my mental trainer for a little bit now. And he does a lot of great things. I could tell you a ton. But one thing that had really helped me is to draw a circle and then a box outside the circle. And in the circle, you write down the things you can control. And on the outside of the box, you write the things that you can't control. And so that just totally gave me a whole different mind perspective on the things that I can and can't control and just to kind of keep moving forward and the things that I need to focus on and, you know, not need to worry about during this time.
What do you think the 2021 games will ultimately mean to you? And what do you think it'll mean to the entire world?
I think it'll definitely be, you know, the best Olympics to watch. It'll be one to remember for sure. And, you know, to remember how grateful we are to be safe. You know, it keeps you humble and keeps you so grateful for everything that you have. And I think it'll be super fun no matter what.
And you can follow more of Michaela Skinner's journey on her YouTube channel and other social media, or learn more about the changes to the Olympics in today's show notes. As always, you can read more about all of the news stories mentioned today at thenewsworthy.com. Just look under the episodes tab. Thank you for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday. We'll be back tomorrow with the news you need to know for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.